And now, welcome to Chai with Manju, with your host, Dr. Manju Shen.
Welcome to Chai with Manju. Our special guest today is one of the most well-known tabla players and composers in the world. His collaboration with Yo-Yo Ma for the Silk Road Ensemble, Sing Me Home, won the Grammy Award for the Best World Music Album at the recent Grammy event. Let us meet Sandeep Das. So, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming to the show.
My pleasure.
Now, we know you've been nominated twice with the ensemble, and this was the win. So, what was that winning moment like?
You know, winning is always fun. But as an artist, you don't create work to win a trophy.
Absolutely.
And I feel very fortunate and very lucky that I'm part of a great team. So it's a victory for the team, and I'm just lucky to be a member of it.
And how did you celebrate?
You know, it's very funny. As a person, I don't get too elated or too sad. So it's, I think my friends and family have celebrated it more. For me, I'm already thinking about the next concert and the next piece. So yeah, it's kind of fun, but not going overboard.
As a community, we are very proud of you.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful.
So this show is about your life. Mm-hmm. So let's start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Your family is from Bengal, but you moved to Bihar, right? So tell us about your early years.
So yeah, my father, K.N. Das, he's from Chandanagar in Bengal.
Right.
And my mother, Arati Das, this was from a small city on the border of Bengal and Bihar. I was born actually in a small city called Dhanbad.
Okay.
But early childhood, I don't remember anything about Dhanbad. We moved to Patna. So that's where I would say I spent my early childhood.
And you started learning tabla at the age of 8, right? From Pandit Shiv Kumar Singh.
Yes, that's a very interesting story for, I think, parents as well as little children. It was a complaint that my father got from a teacher of my school, St. Xavier's High School, saying that I have been disturbing the class by either tapping on the desk or tapping with my feet.
Show us how you were tapping.
Probably I would be doing this, you know.
Okay.
I have little kids now learning from me, and probably they do the same.
Okay.
But instead of taking me to a doctor, when I got back home, my father had my first pair of tabla on the living room table. And he pointed to that, and I said, "What is that?" And he said, "That's yours. And your lessons start today."
Wow.
So I'm very fortunate that he had the vision of putting my tapping into some productive and positive.
Generalizing
yes,
it as
absolutely.
Well. Now, was he a musician as well?
As music? Most Bengalis are, he was a lover of music. He used to sing as a member of a group called IPTA in his college days with Manna Day.
Yes,
but my earliest childhood is about going to concerts. So I had musicians visit our house, staying with my father, our family.
Okay.
And yeah, so that bent of music definitely inspired him to push me in that direction.
Okay. And then when you were 11,
yes.
I believe you started learning from the big legend himself,
yes.
Pandit Kishan Maharaj.
That again, you know, so I started from Pandit Shiv Kumar Ji, and I won my first all Bihar tabla competition. And that's when they both felt that I should go to someone bigger.
Right.
And my father fortunately always felt that when it comes to education, we Indians are very, very strict. We start with AIMS or IIT or Harvard. But when it comes to the arts, it's always an uncle or auntie next door.
Right.
My father was opposed to that. He said if he has to be good, he has to go to, say, the MIT or the Harvard of tabla play.
And
he was a fan.
Absolutely.
He was a fan of my Guruji, so there was no other option. He somehow found a connection, and I started traveling.
So in the beginning, it was mostly weekends and holidays.
It was very difficult.
Right?
I was an 8-year-old kid. Every Saturday, we used to have a weekly test in my school. And my food and clothes would be sent to my school, off from school into the car to the station.
A
10, 12-hour train ride. Reach Banaras Saturday evenings learning.
Yes.
Sunday mornings, I would learn and take the train back Sunday night. Off to school on Monday. No matter what, you know, what weather, what the occasion, every weekend was there.
Probably it gave you the discipline that you needed later on, you know, as a musician. And
everything has
practice.
Helped. Everything has helped. You know, I remember sitting in unreserved compartments as an 8-9 year old on the upper berth of a three-tire compartment, just crammed up like this, and whatever little food I had and water I had. Trains used to have their chains pulled, so a journey that should take you 8 hours would take 22. But that toughened me. You know, I've traveled the world, and I can play with that whether I have slept or eaten or not. So definitely trained me in a very good way.
And then you moved in with your Guruji when you were 11 years old with the typical Guru.
Guru Shishya Parampara.
And how was that like at such a young age to be away from the family and then move in like that and live with somebody else? How was that?
When I look back, I'm very thankful. Yeah. But it wasn't great at that time. It was very difficult. My friends would go for holidays to Shimla and Mussoorie. And there I was in a Shaolin camp with one of the strictest persons on this planet. Uh-huh. But now I go to Switzerland while they are working. So, you know, I don't have to get up every morning and go to work.
Yes.
I can still play 5 concerts a month, wear nice clothes, have good perfume, and thankfully make enough money that most people working really hard don't. And the biggest joy is I spread happiness.
Yes,
so even if I'm playing in Azerbaijan or Syria, Aleppo, I've always gotten love from people. So it was tough. It's tough. You know, who wants to be playing 8 to 10 hours a day as a 9-10 year old kid with a strict guru who doesn't have any mercy? So at that time, there were times when I hated my guru. I'll be honest. I hated my parents.
I heard about a broken finger story or your finger.
There was zero mercy. You know, I had a bandage around my finger one day and he came up and he said, "Why aren't you practicing?" So I thought if I show him the finger, he'll have some sympathy. he said, "Where's your tabla?" So I showed him my tabla and he kept looking at it for almost 4 or 5 minutes. And then he said, "Where is the blood?" Unless the head is soaked in blood that you can't play, don't ever come back to me.
Oh my goodness.
But you know, again, thanks to that, when I'm on stage, nothing stops me. And that's why, though I don't come from a family of musicians or a generation, I cannot send the seventh in line. I come from a very average middle-class family, yet I can very proudly say that it's all because of my Guruji's hard training.
And I think for all his strictness, I think he was very impressed with you. You were only 13 when you had your
Ganda Bandhan.
Right?
He told my father that he has tabla in his blood, and he actually wanted me to quit studying, quit going to school. He even actually told my father one day, it's like, do you want him to be like you, working 30 days a month and bringing back a dry salary? Or you want him to be like me, and one concert I make more than your month's salary?
My goodness.
Yeah, but my father thankfully said that, you know, very humbly, he said, "Guruji, that tells me how difficult it is to be like you, whereas an engineer like me can be produced in the thousands. So please let him study in case he doesn't make it. At least he'll have something to fall back on."
I think when
on.
Your passion becomes your work, then the world is yours.
I'm very grateful. I remember sitting in my balcony. We have an apartment in Delhi. And it hit me suddenly that I was having a cup of tea, reading a newspaper, whereas everybody else was just running around on the street. And I thanked both my father and my guru again that day.
Yeah. And a 16-year-old like you got to perform first concert with Pandit Ravi Shankar. What can be bigger than that? Do you have any recollections?
It was the scariest moment of my life, because that was a concert that we were all looking forward to. For like months, it was sold out. And I was also looking forward. And like, as we were about to leave, he said, "Jao, mera tabla gaadi mein rakho." Which, like, go put my tabla in the car and yours too. So when he said yours too, my heart, I missed the first beat. And then as I'm picking up my tabla, I'm thinking, maybe he needs a spare. But then my brain is saying that he has 20 other pairs, which is way nicer than mine. Why does he need mine? So I was telling myself, like, maybe he needs mine. As I put them in the car, he turned towards me and he said, "Go wear a nicer kurta." So my heart started beating, you know, even loudly. We sat in the car, started driving towards the venue, and he turned towards me and he said, "Aaj tu bhi baja raha hai.
Kya baat?
You're also playing today." And with that, I was like, I was ready to die. Then I thought that, okay, he'll give me a tip. You know, do this, don't do that, don't play this, nothing. As we are about to get off from the car at the venue, He looked at me and he said, "If I see fear in your eyes," he pointed towards his shoes. And he said, "If I see fear in your eyes, this is what will come flying at you." And he said, "From now on, my son, when you are on stage, it doesn't matter who you are with, there shouldn't be any fear." That was the only tip.
And you can always perform at the last minute, right?
My first 7 or 8 concerts with the biggest maestros of Indian classical music were always when I was least prepared. Which I hated them. I thought this has to be the craziest guru on the planet.
Right.
But I thank him. He took the fear out of fear. I'm ready to play a solo or with anyone at Carnegie right now.
Okay. Now, many people don't know that, but you were actually a gold medalist in English literature from Banaras Hindu University. And yet you took such a bold step, as we were talking, of making music your career. Mm-hmm. Now, what was that? Was it a difficult choice
it
at
was.
A young age?
It was, because I was a good student. I even qualified for management at the Tata Institute.
Wow.
And the whole deal about the institute is that you go with your luggage. And as you pass the exams, you know, the written, the objective, the interview, the classes start.
Wow.
So you start classes the day the result is announced or you have to quit.
Wow.
So I actually called my father and said, "I just came to see Bombay, you know, and I got through in this test. What should I do?" And he said, "Well, I have guided you so far, my son. Now the time has come for you to decide what you wanted to do." And he kept the phone. So I called him back. I said, "Daddy, give me some hints." He says, "What will you make? What will make you more happy? Being a top CEO of a company or being a musician?" And pat came my reply. I was like, "Of course, music." He said, "Then just go, follow your heart. What are you worried about?" I said, "You know, on one hand, if I pass from the Tata Institute, jobs will be waiting for me. Music has no given path. So it's insecure." And I think he gave me one of the most important lessons of my life. He said, "My son, anything in life is made secure or insecure by you, by what you do with that. But very few people have the choice of following their heart. Go ahead."
That's such a special dad.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Especially so ahead of his time.
Yes, yes, yes. Right. Unfortunately, I lost him very early, but he saw a concert of mine and he said, "You know, you're all set. I can die peacefully now." And he passed away within a month. So I miss him. I miss him a lot every day of my life. But yeah, so I packed my bags from BHU and I decided I'll go to Delhi and try music only for a year. Otherwise, I'll give it up completely.
Okay.
And fall back on academics. But that's when I met Shubha Didi, Shubha Mudgal.
Okay.
And my new journey started in
India. She was one of the first people to tweet about your Grammy.
She loves me. And she is my favorite Didi.
Yes.
She's my kids' bua. Like, even if I'm not there, she just spends time with them. Like, for both my kids, my daughters, she gave the churi that her grandma... So, like, she's, like, part
family.
Of my family. And
to
we
bring
started...
Her to Boston.
She should. Yeah, Learn Quest should do something about it.
And tell us about how did you move to the United States and, of course, Boston? What brought that about?
So my first trip to the U.S. was 1990. So I've been playing here since then. But it's only about 5 years back. I was actually walking with Yo-Yo Ma. We had played a big concert, 65,000 people at the Chicago Millennium Park. And as I was walking with him, I suddenly asked myself about what do I want to do next? As you already said, you know, I was very fortunate. I had started playing with the biggest maestros very early in life.
Yes.
By the time I was in my 20s, I'd played every festival. So Indian classical music-wise, I had hit a ceiling. There was nothing new for me. You know, I have like 30, 40 albums, played in every festival with every maestro possible. Yet I had started playing with the biggest orchestras. So I was thinking, you know, how to go beyond just being an Indian tabla player, playing Indian classical music. At the same time, I had started teaching a summer institute here at Harvard, and I had started spending time in Boston. And I was starting to fall in love with this city, you know, because it has everything that a big city has to offer. Yet, you know, I'm surrounded by woods. We have three lakes that I can go for a walk. And I can drive up to the downtown in 10 minutes.
And now we have been rated number one city in the United States, right?
Yes. So, and I have two girls, so I also wanted to give them a different perspective in life.
Yes.
So it was a combination of music, Yo-Yo Ma, I would say, is the nicest human being that I've met in my life. You know, I rate him even higher than my own guru.
Wow.
As far as a human being is concerned, 18 years of knowing him, I've learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot about being a nice, loving, caring person mm-hmm. first, very secure, mm-hmm. not insecure. You
That's
know?
The most important thing. Sometimes yes. I see a lot of creative people are actually insecure.
Unfortunately, yes. more so uh-huh. in our own Indian classical
yes,
music
absolutely.
Scene. And
absolutely.
That's something that I've learned from uh-huh. Yo-Yo. So combination of all that
uh-huh.
and my wife, who's the boss,
uh-huh.
demand that we will only go to a place where my daughters get good schooling.
Good education, right.
So we ended up in Boston.
Hmm.
And 4 years now, I'm very happy.
It's been lucky for you.
Very good. God's been very kind.
Right. Now, you worked, as you mentioned, with some of the best musicians, both Indian classical and Western.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some of the differences that when you play, what are some of the differences in playing with them?
So the first time I walked in to play with the New York Philharmonic at uh-huh. Lincoln Center, we had 4 world premiere concerts.
Okay.
This woman walks up to me and
uh-huh.
puts a metal something mm-hmm. in front of me.
Uh-huh.
There's a man who puts a metal something and mm-hmm. I look at that and I said, what is that? And he said, uh-huh. that's a music stand.
Uh-huh.
And this woman comes up and puts a piece of paper and I look at that and I'm like, what is that? And she says, that's your music.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I can't read music.
Uh-huh.
So there was pin drop silence that uh-huh. they have flown this tabla player from India for 4 world premiere concerts,
uh-huh.
sold out, Lincoln Center, who can't read music.
Uh-huh.
I raised my hands and I said, well, if you guys rehearse it once,
uh-huh.
I will get it.
Uh-huh.
And again, there was this silence of disbelief.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, really? We have rehearsed it for 2 days and you can memorize a piece of 28 minutes in like a one rehearsal?
Uh-huh.
And that's when Yo-Yo Ma stood up and looked at the orchestra and he said, you know what? Why don't we do it?
Uh-huh.
These Indian musicians do crazy things. Why I'm telling you this story is that's how different these two worlds are.
Yes. Yes.
Here I am now playing with the biggest orchestras,
uh-huh.
music written for me that I can still read.
Uh-huh.
So it's a different world, but at the
uh-huh.
same time, we are still looking at the same thing. So we don't have rehearsals in Indian classical music.
Right.
You are good or bad that you can pull out your tabla and
uh-huh.
in a moment's notice you can get up on
yes.
stage and play.
Absolutely.
Whereas here, you rehearse.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean one is better than the other. By
yes.
rehearsing, 100 violins sound like one.
Uh-huh.
100 cellos sound like one. Put 5 sitar players together.
Totally different.
They cannot
Absolutely.
Play together. So it's a different
yeah, it's
feel.
A different...
Same thing, Indian classical music is more about improvising, about creating
mm-hmm.
something on stage.
Right.
Whereas most of the Western classical
uh-huh.
world is notated.
Yes.
Yet, Yo-Yo said a very nice thing. He said, it's like a GPS.
Mm-hmm.
You put address A to B. But then you don't drive looking at the GPS.
Right.
Someone drives fast, someone makes a curve very
right.
fast. So there is improvisation
uh-huh.
in a different way.
Uh-huh.
What I am enjoying the most is I was a very proud Indian uh-huh. classical musician,
uh-huh.
very proud about my culture and heritage. But
uh-huh.
after meeting the musicians from the West, I realized that nothing that I felt was only mine is actually only mine. It's a shared heritage.
That is so true.
Nothing grows in isolation. So though we believe this is mine, that is yours, the sooner we open our hearts
yes.
and ears and minds, we'll see that actually all music, all cultures, all traditions are similar and we have all learned from one another.
And it's a universal language.
Absolutely.
Truly a universal
Absolutely.
Language of love.
So there are differences on the outset, but at
uh-huh.
the bottom,
yeah.
ultimately, if you see me
yeah.
playing with Yo-Yo, we'll see 2 kids on stage
uh-huh.
that are having a terrific time. And if I'm playing with, say, Ustad Amzul Ali Khan, of whom you heard me playing with last
yes.
year,
yes.
everybody at the festival came and said, your tabla sounded different
uh-huh.
because I'm having fun. So my bottom line, as you'll see outside
uh-huh.
my door, nothing without happiness, nothing without fun.
That
so,
is so true.
Yes.
That is so true. And it's interesting what you said because I have interviewed quite a few musicians and I asked them, do you prepare? And they said, nahi, bas wahan baithke audience ka mood dekhke hum kai baar decide karte hain kya bajana. And
Absolutely.
I was wondering, what about the tabla player? You know, like I've always wondered about that. So that was a very
I was warned by my guru once
uh-huh.
that if he ever hears me practice
uh-huh.
before a concert, he's going to break my hands. So ever since,
Very strict gurus we have, and very threatening always, right? But I hear so many stories.
Everything he taught me is like a diamond in my pocket today that I show to the world and do what I do. So I never practice. I actually keep myself starving. I'm hungry that every tone note I play on stage, I'm dying to play it first. That's everything I play surprises me, and that's the wow moment.
Right. Now, talking about teaching, of course, you formalized your tabla school recently, and I had the privilege of watching you teach some of the kids, and the sheer joy and the happiness and laughter was really touched my heart. So I think your style is kind of different from your Guruji, right? So
well, yes. Yeah, but I can't remember when we laughed with my Guruji or when he appreciated me.
So what did you do for fun all those 12 years?
Fun for us at that time was a smile on his face or his saying, my pet name is Mithu. He would tell Guruma, aaj Mithu mere saath khayega. That was the reward. Like we were upgraded to eat with him. The first time he appreciated me was years after I had already established myself as a successful musician at Herbal Love Sangeet Samaro in Jalandhar. After the concert, when I like played my opening piece, he was sitting like this and he went like, and I you know, we would barely look at him because we were always worried. And when I went and touched his feet, he touched my head and he said, shabash, tu to achha bajane wala. So that was the biggest compliment. I have learned to approach my children, like my students, differently. It's a different time. It's a different era.
I don't think our kids would last under those strict having said.
But you know, the ones who last are the ones who will play.
That is true.
I'm equally strict with them. You know, I don't teach them anything unless they earn it. I make it very clear to the mothers, to the fathers who bring them, or adults. But I approach it differently. I approach it in a more fun way. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, go! Okay? You can wait. You can watch. 1, 2, 3, go!
Joy and the peace and the harmony is also reflected in even the name that you have picked for your non-profit called HUM, Harmony and Universality Through Music. So share with our viewers something about that. How can they be a part of your non-profit?
Yeah, I started it about 5 years now because I felt that just being, you know, Yo-Yo questions himself all the time, does the world need another cellist? And that's why he's involved in so many other work. And I suddenly felt that that's such a powerful question. Does the world need another tabla player? No. You know, there are many other tabla players. How can I contribute? And that's when I started this organization. HUM means we. So the power of we. I have been very fortunate that I was able to find two visually impaired children. One is a 7-year-old kid, no longer 7. He's probably now 13 or 14. And if I'm able to bring him to the US with some sponsorship, he should be the first superstar visually impaired tabla player of this world, I'm telling you.
Let's work on that.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen. So from 2, we have now 6 visually impaired children.
It's wonderful.
And I probably am very proud, very selfishly proud, have the only organization that has a national scholarship where we not only fund their learning, we fund their travel, we even give them a stipend.
It's so wonderful.
And solely run from our pockets, few friends. It's only, fortunately, 3 years now that we have a German company, not an Indian company. It's a very painful story.
Yeah.
It's a German company which has sponsored our scholarship for 5 years, mm-hmm. called Lanxess, and we are running this scholarship.
Well, we have a lot of people who watch this show, so hopefully
Let's see.
So now shifting gears, because we know your wife Tripti, and you have two daughters. Sakshi was a good Odissi dancer, and of course I met Sonakshi today, who plays tabla. Tell us a little bit about your family and how you met your wife.
It's a fun story, actually. We met in ninth grade.
Oh my goodness! Do you sense a love story there?
It's like a Bollywood. It's almost like a Bollywood story.
Before you moved to Banaras.
We met in NCC, and we both paraded down the Republic, paraded down the Rajpath. She was Junior Division Best Cadet Army. I was Junior Division Best Cadet Air Force. Air Wing. And at that time, all I wanted to do was become an Air Force pilot. And I was her commanding officer. Oh, but now you know who the commanding officer
yes,
is.
Yes, absolutely. You sign your rights away when you get married.
So, yeah, we got married about 22 years back. And I wanted girls all my life.
That's so
very, very biased because we grew up four monkeys in the same house. Uh-huh. I have pity my mother. So we were four brothers. We are four brothers and I am the youngest. So I always wanted girls and I got two, Sakshi and Sonakshi. Sakshi is a very nice girl, learned Odissi in Delhi and from Madhavi Mudgalji's student. Uh-huh. And here she's learning from Oli Pal, local Boston guru.
Wonderful Upasana.
Yes.
Right.
And Sonakshi is a good golfer. Actually, she's been learning golf.
Goodness, like you.
Yeah, I'm very passionate about golf. So she's a good golfer, has won every tournament that she's played in the US.
Wow.
Tabla, I only started about a year now because suddenly she used to learn singing from Shubha Didi. But she used to get more spoiled by her than learn singing because Bua would only cuddle her, hold her and say, "Isko de do, just leave her here." So she has a good voice. But, you know, once we moved here, we couldn't continue. So I started teaching her tabla. But she has zero focus. So I don't know.
She at that age.
I don't know. But they are good children. I'm very lucky.
That brings me to the fun part, which we call rapid response.
Okay.
So whatever comes to your mind and whatever you think first.
Okay.
So what's your favorite place to perform?
Oh, that's a tough call.
Yes.
That's a tough call. There are so many favorite places, but one place that sticks out is a cathedral in Zurich that I played. I was playing with Shujat Khan, sitar player. Okay. And I think I had my first out-of-body experience that it was so perfect, everything, that I wasn't on stage for probably a few seconds, and I came back, nobody missed me. And so I would say, incident-wise and place-wise, I still rate that as a unique experience,
That's beautiful. And how do you get ready for the show? Just before you go on stage, how do you get ready?
Actually, you know what? I don't think about the concert ever.
Okay.
I want to joke, I want to laugh, I just want to be... It's tough, actually, people have to make me behave and get me to be serious. But left to me, I want to be just happy, not think about... Yes.
Do you have any favorite rag?
I love joke. Joke's my favorite rag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any favorite hobbies?
Golf. Left to me, I would love dying playing golf.
Okay.
Yes. And if my father hadn't pushed me to tabla, and if I had known about golf, I think you would be interviewing a golfer.
Good, you got it.
I find them very similar. Yeah.
Your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I don't watch that many, but Hindi movie, Shole.
Shole?
Because Basanti still remains my favorite. You know, I've met her many times after, but
Do you have any Bollywood ambitions?
Not really. You know, I have known people from that industry very, very closely. But
any music director you'd like to work with?
I love A.R. Rahman's work, you know, in the younger generation. Even when before Roja, when I heard his South Indian composition, when nobody in the North, most people didn't know, I heard it and I said, oh my God, this man will definitely be very successful. So yeah, he is someone that I would love to.
And what's your next project?
I have recently written a piece called Ashoka, King Ashoka, commissioned by the Harvard School of is it Divinity School? I'm forgetting the name. And Silk Road. So I'm premiering it on the 25th of March with Yo-Yo Ma. At Sanders Theatre. We have premiered it in Asia in 7 countries, but Ashoka, based on my experience of growing up in Pataliputra, Patna, it's a very, very nice piece.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
So we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.